So we are in Karma Yoga, the third chapter. So Bhagwan has given the ultimate teaching in the second chapter. He has talked about the qualities of the man of wisdom, the sthit prajna, the secret knowledge. But then all of that started with the confusion of Arjuna in the battlefield. So he started off with this highest knowledge, and then he is not expecting Arjuna to be able to abide in that. So he's going to start from the beginning for his spiritual path. So he's going to bring him down to the level of karma. So how to do that? How to stay on the right track? Let's chant this 16th shloka together, and then we'll start also, so that we have a continuation of the thread also. So we'll start with the 16th shloka. Evam pravartitam chakram nanu vartayati hayah aghayur indriya ramah mogham parthas jivati. So the Lord is talking about the cycle here. The cycle, and we'll see what that is, which is, he's assuming that we, the jivas, will follow. And those who do not follow this cycle, they are condemned by the Lord. They are committing a grave sin by not following this cycle, by engaging in the sensuous pleasures, going after the sense objects, and wasting their life. He says that they live their life in vain, and it is better that they die, and they die quickly, so that they can start this life and pursue this cycle again in the next life. So those who are not able to follow this, or those who do not follow this and give in to their senses, they're extremely sinful people, and Lord talks about this at so many thousand years ago. So if we talk at our level as an individual, so he assumes that we are going to follow this at an individual level, at a householder's level, then in our community, society, then the national level. So we read all this, we do our satsanga, but we all know how difficult it is to be a householder, to manage our life, to manage our family, and then to manage maybe the place of work where we work, then maybe an organization, and then somebody who rises above that, maybe at a state level and the national level. So the Lord who's doing all of this, he's a supreme Lord. So he's talking from that angle, and how all powerful, how all pervading he is, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. So when we think at our individual jiva level, we all have issues, we all have problems that we all deal with. Nobody is perfect. Once the jiva asked Bhagwan, Bhagwan, you have made this world so beautiful. There are so many temptations here, so many things are here. You know, you have given us everything here. You know, what do we need? Lord says, yes, but nobody's life is perfect. Kabhi kisi ko mukammal jahan nahi milta. Nobody's life is perfect. There's something that they're lacking. That thing that they're lacking, they cannot fulfill it by any object of this material world. If they can fulfill that aspect with my devotion, that person will come to me. So we all have issues. I have my issues. As an individual, we all deal with problems. But that thing that is lacking in our life, if we fill that gap with the devotion of the Lord, that will take us to Him. And that is where this extreme devotion, this bhakti, this love, this compassion for the Lord comes in, which is supposed to be an easier way than the path of knowledge, which is very difficult to abide in that, to stay in that, to stay extremely alert. But if we are able to stay at the lotus feet of the Lord and completely surrender to Him, just that will take us to Him. There's a small story, and I'm going to lace this with some stories from Bhagavatam. The course is going on, and Sandeepani Swamiji is taking that. So I'm listening to that. So I'm going to put some, because it tells us how to stay on track. So there was a Mahatma, so he was chanting the name of Ram, 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 Ram. So somebody comes up, he strangles him. He says, "You're not going to take the name of Lord Rama again." So Mahatma says, okay. All right. So the gentleman who said, "You're not going to take the name of Lord Ram again." So some time passes, he dies. So when he dies, so the assistants of Yamduta, the Lord of Death, they come and take him. They take him to Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. So the Lord examines his account. Negative. He's surely going to hell. Negative. Oops. He said the name of Lord once, even though he said to somebody else, "You're not going to take the name of Lord Ram," but he said the name of Lord Ram again. So what do I do? He's confused. He thinks, there's no answer. So he says, okay, with his assistants, "Let's go to Brahmaji. Let's ask him." They all go to Brahmaji with this gentleman who passed. Brahmaji confused. It is mind-boggling. It was a puzzle. What do we do? I don't know the answer to that. Okay. They say, okay, let's go to Lord Shiva. They ask Lord Shiva the same question. Lord Shiva says, "This has never happened. This is a new situation. I have no idea." Here this man says, "What kind of gods are you? You don't know the answer to this simple question and you're making me run around. I'm tired." They say, "Oh, sorry. We will get you something to sit." They get a palanquin. And they get him a palanquin to sit. And then they go to Bhagwan Vishnu, who is the Lord. Bhagwan Ram is the avatar of. So Bhagwan Ram, Vishnu Bhagwan says, sees these guys. So he comes running outside. What happened? Then these guys tell him what the problem. Bhagwan Vishnu says, "This is what happens. This is the result. He just said name of Ram once and you guys are bringing him in a palanquin to me and I'm coming running outwards. This is what happens, taking the name of Lord Ram." So the just taking his name takes us through all the sins and takes us to his abode. So that was some nice story. That's why I thought that we'll mention this. So this cycle of life, this which is talked about Lord Krishna here. So he says, Vedas are coming from the mouth of the Bhagavan himself, the Lord. So the Vedas or the Shastras, based on what they are telling us, what is right to do and what is wrong. So we do all those karmas. So from the mouth of the Lord, Vedas. And we follow the Vedas. The Vedas tell us, do this, don't do this. Then we do our karmas. And based on those karmas, we have our sins, then we have our punyas. And if we are doing them with the right attitude, that is the attitude of sacrifice, then that results in the rainfall. The rain comes. And with the rains, we get the food. And then the food is eaten up and then the jiva comes. The cycle. So that's how the cycle is supposed to be. So, an individual who's following this, for example, he's doing a yagna. So, when he's doing a yagna, swaha, or whatever, there are different agnihotras, yagnas, different kind of yagnas. So, he becomes an object of enjoyment by the devas, by the celestial beings. Because in yagnas, they're present and they're there. So, he becomes an object of enjoyment by those celestial beings, devas. And when he is studying Veda or following Veda, then he becomes an object of enjoyment by the rishis, by the munis. And when he is doing the actual action, he or she, then he is the object of enjoyment by the opposite gender. Man by woman, woman by man. So then he is an object or she is an object of enjoyment there. Then the man, we live in our house, we have ants, insects, birds who are trying to make a nest in our, you know, house. So we become an object of enjoyment for them. They live, we have ants in our house, we have insects in our house, cockroaches. So they are enjoying us. So just think of it that we are following this cycle. And if you are following this cycle in with the right attitude, which is the attitude of the sacrifice. But again, this sacrifice has to be with the devotion towards the Lord. And these four shlokas, 16, 17, 18 and 19, if we look at this, this is the essence. And we'll go through that. If we understand these four shlokas properly, we are set. And we'll talk about this. So here he is talking about the karmas and the right attitude with the attitude of devotion. And then the next one and the 18th one is even powerful. And here's the attitude of devotion is coming one more time. I'll tell you one more story because it is pertaining to this and the devotion. So there was a king. He is in the lineage of Dhruva. We have North Pole. North Star, sorry. So there was a king called Prachurbahi. So although he was born in the lineage of the great devotee, he was mainly an action-oriented person. We are all doing actions. We cannot sit idle, right? There is a text by Guruji. It's called Dhyana Swarupam. So there is a shloka in that text. It starts like this: Kriya Shila Sada Jivaha. Sthatum shaknoti natmani. We are always doing something. And this is all because of our previous karmas in our previous lives and the fruits of that. We are always doing something. We never sit idle. Even when we retire, okay, the friends call 1 week later to see how their wife is. He's not at home, he's working somewhere. Or he is, you know, he's doing part-time work somewhere else. That's our habit. We cannot sit idle. Sometimes our spouse says, oh, you don't come at home. You better do something else. Right? You do this. I cannot have you at home. That's how our life is. We can never sit at one place. We're always doing something. So this king was constantly doing yagnas. And he didn't know anything about the knowledge aspect. So all his priests were helping him with chanting the shlokas and everything. So Naradji comes, he says, why are you doing all this, you know, karmas, you know, do some knowledge, learn some Vedanta, you'll attain moksha, freedom. He says, but Lord, I don't know anything about knowledge, only I'm doing this action and I'm happy with that. So he says, no, this is not going to take you anywhere. I'll tell you another story. So there's a story in a story. So he says, there was a king called Puramjana. Very good king. So he was going from places to find a place to settle down. So he's going, then he reaches a city called Panchala city. A very nice city, tall high risers, you know, beautiful lakes, oceans, gardens, you know, beautiful people walking around, nicely dressed, all those things are happening, good action, markets and everything. So he likes that place. And then he sees there's a beautiful lady. So he looks at her. He finds her very attractive. The lady also looks at him. She also finds him attractive. So the king goes to her. He says, you're very nice. You're good looking. I want to marry you. So the lady says, oh yeah, I also find you very nice. Let's marry. So what's the point? You like me, I like you. Let's marry. No further thing needed. So they marry. So the king likes the lady so much, he's madly in love. So whatever she does, he does. She sleeps, he sleeps. She gets up, he gets up. She drinks, he drinks. They're like absolutely everything, he follows her blindly. To the extent, you know, he goes somewhere hunting or something and then he comes back. So since he left her behind, she's upset. It happens to us, right? When we are somewhere, our spouse gets upset. So she goes to her Kopbhavan, angry house. You know, there's a small room those days to get angry. So she was in that room, Kopbhavan. So he goes to her, you know, what happened, you know, darling, you. He said, no, 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 I'm not talking to you. And then he says, you know, how long she's going to stay upset? They said, okay. So okay, they get happy. So when the king is happy and everybody is happy, then he will have enemies. There will be people who want to take advantage. So there was a Kalakanya, her name was Zara. So she says that I want to marry this guy. But the King Puramjana, he says no. Then she says, she goes to Naraji. She proposes to him. Naraji says, I'm a brahmachari, you know, how can I marry you? So he says, you go to another person, he's Yavana Raj, his name is Bhaya. You go and marry him. So she goes to this Bhaya, Yavana Raj. So Bhaya says, oh, you know your problem? You're not good looking. So everybody is scared of you. So you are like my sister. He makes her as a sister. Okay, you do this. I'll give you a boon. You become invisible. Then I'll give you two of my assistants. Their name is Prajjara and Chandavay. You know, like, so they will assist you. So she becomes invisible. And then she starts, you know, she just affects everybody. And then she goes and affects the King Puramjana. So then gradually King Puramjana, he gets weaker, 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 weaker. And then gradually he dies. He said, then his wife, no, there's no description what happens to her. So in the next life, she is born to a son, the king of Vidarbha, as Vaidarbhi. So she gets married to another king, Malayadhvaj. This king is very noble, very nice. He's very virakta, you know, dispassionate and everything. So he's not engaging in any material objects. So he goes to the forest and she also goes. And then he sits and does meditation. And then he's sitting and he leaves the body. So the wife, Vaidarbhi, who was the King Puramjana in a previous life, she doesn't know and then she shakes him and then he's dead. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm also going to die with him. So she lights up the pyre, you know, ready to jump. Then somebody comes. A Brahman comes. He says, what are you doing? Why are you dying? You were this Puramjana king in the previous life and now you're born as a lady because your mind was always attracted towards, you know, the opposite gender. So you were attracted towards the opposite gender, so you were born like this. And now you want to die again because you like this opposite gender now. How long is this going to go on? You have to stop this cycle. So whatever the point is, at the end, whatever our mind is, we become like that. Man becomes woman, woman becomes man. And then Guruji says in these days, they don't even have to die. They become transgender. Nobody has to wait for death, right? So the point is, towards the end of the life, when we are dying, if we don't think of the Lord, and if we think of whatever we have been doing all of our life, this cycle will go that route. I'll tell you another story. Again, the message is the same. There was a Brahmin, and he was very sort of engaging in all sort of different objects. So he starts, you know, going in companies of different women. So you know, he gets messed up. Then he has some children. So the last, one of the child's name was, they name him Narayan. Right? Some of us have heard the story. So, and then he gets old. Then he's almost dying. So as he's about to die, again, our Lord of Death, Yamaraja, he sends his assistants. So they come, so he looks at them, oh, I'm dying. Then he calls his son, Narayan. And then he passes away. So the assistants, they take him. They take him. And as they're about to take him, assistants of Lord Vishnu, they come. They say, what are you doing? They say, Lord Yamaraja's assistants say, no, we have to take him. You know, he's dead. He said, here Lord Vishnu's people say, no, you can't, because he took the name of Narayan at the last time. He said, so what? But he was a bad person. He said, no. This is a deep secret that not a whole lot of people know. This is the ultimate constitution. A person may die, but whatever he says or thinks or dwells in the last moment of the life, whether or not, if he means it or not, he's going to go there. This is a secret, only known to some people. So since he took the name of Narayan towards the end of his life, we are going to take him and then chase him away. So the dutas of Yamaraja are chased away by the dutas of Bhagavan Vishnu. So again, the point is, by submerging ourselves in the devotion of the Lord, at the feet of the Lord, doing the karmas with the right attitude, sacrifice, with total surrender to the Lord, will take us forward in our spiritual journey. And that is a very deep message that we get from all these stories. Otherwise, we are reading, and it becomes kind of dry. And it's kind of very difficult to stay with that subject. So now let's come to the next shloka, shloka number 17. Yastvatma ati revasyat revasyat triptascha manavah atmanevacha santushtah tasya karyam na vidyate. Then we can chant it together. Yastvatmatirevasyat atmatraptashamanavah atmanevacha santushtah tasya karyana vidyate. So Arjuna says, okay Bhagwan, so you say engage in action with the right attitude, engage in action with the attitude of the sacrifice. But for how long? How long is one supposed to keep on doing this? When can I retire? Right? When do I stop doing all these things? So the answer is here. Tasya karyam na vidyate, the last quarter of the second line of the shloka. He does not need to do. Who? That person who is dwelling, there are three words here, Atma Rati, then Atma Trapti, then Atma Samtushti. So Rati, Trapti and Samtushti, there are three words here. So one who is constantly reveling, constantly dwelling in Atma, the self. The one who is Trapta, satisfied in the Atma. And Samtushta, the one who is fully content in the Atma. So, in the 16th one, we see this word called Indriya Ramaha. Aghayur Indriya Ramaha. So, he is Indriya Rama, the one person who follows his Indriyas, his sense organs. So, he is constantly engaging in sense organs, like our friend, the King Puramjana. So, he went after that lady, the queen, who was accompanied by some sevaks, and they also had a serpent with five heads. They were protecting them. So he says that lady that this king got attracted to, that lady was buddhi, her intellect. So this king was blindly following his buddhi. his intellect. Whatever she did, he did. She slept, he slept. Those 10 sevaks, she had some 10 servants with him. Those 10 servants were 5 senses of organs and 5 actions of organs of action. So they were protected by, the buddhi was protected by 5 of these sense organs and the 5 sense of actions. And that serpent, which was 5-headed, which was protecting them, even that the king was sleeping, were the panch pranas. You know, our 5 prana, pana, udan, vyan, saman. So they're always active, even when we are asleep. They're keeping us alive. And then that king was able to do whatever he wanted by 2 citizens. They were blind. They were blind, but he was able to get everything done through them. So those 2 blind citizens were 2 hands and 2 legs. They were blind. They will do whatever, you know, the king will tell them. So whatever the buddhi gets done through the body, they will do hands and legs. All they need to do is just follow the actions. So this King Puramjana was totally identifying with the buddhi, who had these 5 actions or sense organs and the actions, and then they were protected by the panch pranas and they were doing whatever blindly with their hands and legs. So he did that, and then he dies and he goes into second birth and then he suffers. So the person who's constantly dwelling in his own self, who is satisfied with the self, in the self, and is totally content, he does not need to do anything. So the rati is reveling or dwelling, trapti is satisfied and totally content. How do we differentiate between this? Guruji says another example. Say, and it happens to us, we think of some food. So as we start thinking of some food, our mouth starts watering. So that's the rati. You know, we are thinking about that. So a child is at home, he wants some food. Mom has made some food, but he wants pizza. So he will tell his mom that I want pizza. So he's reveling about that. Mom says, okay, we'll get a pizza. So he gets a pizza, he's eating that, he's happy, he's satisfied. He wants more, more, more. You said, you just eat, dabake. That's totally content. He's happy. Like you cannot eat anymore. The food is there, but no, you cannot eat. You're done. So that's fully content. There's another way to look at it. Rati is the wife of Kamdev, the Lord of Love. So, the beloved. So, you are really attracted and attached to your beloved. So, that's Rati. And then, the Tripti is we want material objects. We're running after stocks, cars, house, you know, gold, whatever. So, that's the satisfaction we want from that. And the contentment is a person who's after power and position. He doesn't care for the first 2. But he wants power and position because he knows that with power and position he can get the other 2. It happens to us, like when it happens to me, when we are traveling outside, you know, there's food, you know, the kids want something, but I want Indian food. My mind is thinking about that. So I'll drive around, look for that. And when I sit, okay, I'm happy, and then I'm going to eat like there's no tomorrow. It happens to me at least, right? And then another example, when we are watching, we are watching a game or a movie or something. It's not dry to watch it alone, right? We want friends, right? So that we can make noise, you know. That's Rati. We want people to be around us. So that's that. And then when we want the objects, when we, okay, I'm going to have this car, I'm going to get this one, I'm going to get that house. That's the Tripti part. Bhagwan Paramahans said that these are also Rati, Tripti and Santushti. They can also be said as Kamani, like, you know, beloved or friends or family. Then Kanchana is the objects that we want, and then the Kirti, power and fame and position that we get. So this is what these 3 are. But for the man of wisdom who is constantly reveling and content in his own Atma, that person does not need to do anything. That is when retirement happens. So, oh Arjuna, you're not ready for that yet. You cannot run away from battlefield because you're a Kshatriya. So you have to do what is your dharma. Your dharma is to fight and protect. And that is what people expect from you. People are going to expect from a Brahmin or a teacher to teach. If he doesn't teach, then that's a problem. If you don't fight and protect, then that is a problem, because that's what people are expecting that from you. So you cannot run away from your dharma. And that's where this desire management also comes in. You know, there are event managements, there are wealth managements. So Bhagwan, Guruji has talked about this desire management, you know, how you manage your desires by not creating any obstacle to anybody else. And we are able to grow for our self-development. And that's why if anybody who has a lot of energy, like a kids, we have to keep them busy. Otherwise, they will sit and play on their PlayStation and video games. Waste of time. And then there's another problem these days. They say, what is in it for me? What is the bottom line, right? So that's why we should, as parents, engage them in doing some selfless work, some community work. So that attitude also comes, that, you know, helping others, having some, you know, compassion for the community, you know, doing work for others. Some selfless feeling comes into the picture. Otherwise, it has been so strongly said in our shastras, and it is so true. And when I heard this, it was very striking. It is said, a father is not a father. That father is not a father. That mother is not a mother. That teacher is not a teacher. If they do not teach their children, and they don't take away the fear of death. It has been very clearly said that father is not a father. That mother is not a mother. That God is not a God. That teacher is not the teacher. If they don't tell their children, we tell them, okay, study, do, you know, whatever you have to do, earn, have a house, family, wife, yeah, all of that. Everybody does that. But if they don't tell their kids the truth of the life and take away the fear of death, they are not doing the dharma. It has been very clearly said. And it's not me, it has been said. And when I read that, I said, okay, well, I have work to do. Seriously. So this man who is constantly reveling in his Atma and fully, totally satisfied, he does not have to do anything.